Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, as always, by DraftKings. We love those dudes. We love each and every one of you that realizes the value that my guy, Emery Hunt, provides each and every week. We record these pretty early on Monday morning, so you can get ahead of some of these college football bets if you are so inclined. We also like to take a look at the week ahead. We'll tell you how we did last week with the bets. And we talk about some of the best prospects in some of the biggest games. There's some big ones this week. Michigan, Penn State, Utah, Washington. UW just keeps winning games. Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, Georgia. Should be awesome. I'll be doing Holy Cross and Army. Looking forward to that. And we'll get to Emory momentarily. Please check me out on social media. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. So whatever you're on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, I'm on there, at Ross Tucker NFL. And then at Ross Tucker Pod is everywhere other than TikTok, I guess. But that's how you get like the two or three best clips that we think, at least, from each show. You're following at Ross Tucker Pod on your preferred platform. Any engagement is appreciated. You get a chance to win one of these awesome press passes. I'll sign it for you. I'll send it to you so you have something that nobody else has. All you have to do is engage in some way. Usually a comment of some sort on any of the social platforms we love. Emery's the star of the show. Emery's everywhere now. Love seeing him on CBS Sports HQ. I feel cool after I do the Ohio State Rutgers game because they had me do a live hit on HQ. And I'm like, oh, that's the place where Emery is all the time. CBS Sports HQ, which, by the way, is growing fast. At FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube, and then footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. Listen, it's November. The draft will be here before you know it. And some of your teams, it's pretty clear they're not going to be making the playoffs. So you might want to start to sign up for that draft guide and really focus in on how your teams can get better. Last week, Emery, you were 2-2 with your bets. Man, you were all over Oklahoma State getting the 6 points against Oklahoma. They won the game outright. They went crazy. You could tell that game meant a lot to the Oklahoma State people, the fans, the coaches, the players, with Oklahoma leaving the head to the SEC.
Especially when you saw how Oklahoma wasn't going to be able to stop the run the previous week. You knew what the game plan was coming into that ball game with Ollie Gordon and what Oklahoma State was going to try to do against Oklahoma. It played out perfectly. That was one that I stayed with the whole week. Even when the line dropped a little bit to -5.5, I was still on Oklahoma State because this is a team that was, like you said, they were playing for something bigger. and he went out there with the perfect game plan to really defeat Oklahoma.
Was that back-to-back losses for Oklahoma? No. Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Kansas, and then they lose to Oklahoma State.
Wow. It's amazing how quickly a season can change, you know? Same team that beat Texas a few weeks ago. Speaking of that, that was one of the losses. Did you laid the 4.5 with Texas?
I did. I laid
okay.
the 4.5 with Texas.
I couldn't yet. Remember. For some reason, I was thinking you took K-State. So Texas was rolling, and then my guy Will Howard from Downingtown West in Eastern PA, he brought them back. I still have yet to talk with him or someone from there. I have no idea how – I've never heard, Emory, of an Eastern Pennsylvania kid going to Kansas State. Like, how does that happen? Anyway, he ends up going to Kansas State, and he brings Kansas State all the way back to the point where they go to overtime, and then they lose by a field goal in overtime. It was a field goal, right?
Yeah, it was a field goal.
So this is what I don't like, Emory. If you're going to lose Kansas State, lose by more than 4.5 so that Emory's right. if you're not going to let Emory be right, then win the game. Then win the game. Get the upset. Win the game and get Texas out of the top 10. You can't do the middle. This is, Kansas State killed us, Emory.
It was a theme for me the entire weekend, both college and pro, with these bad beats. Because, man, some of these games, like the Saints game on Sunday, I needed the Saints to win by 9. They miss a field goal. I'm like, all right. And then they get the ball going down late to run out the clock. And Taysom Hill gets that quarterback power. He breaks off right tackle and gets tackled inside the 6 with under a minute left. So, of course, they're not going to kick a field goal. They're going to let the clock drain out. So all of these bad beats were killing me.
Yeah, man. It's that's betting. I mean, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Even Money podcast. You know, we record that Tuesday mornings, Emory. I took the Giants in a teaser at 8.5. That was when we knew Daniel Jones was playing. We didn't know he was going to tear his ACL and Tommy DeVito would go in. And also that was before Josh McDaniels got fired.
Right.
That changed everything. I mean, there's no way they would have won like that if McDaniels was still the coach. But I didn't know that when I made the pick. And then I had Carolina plus 8.5.
Oh.
It's a tie game if Bryce Young doesn't throw 2 pick 6s. That never happens. 2 pick 6s never happens. I hate it. I hate betting. I hate everybody. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Your other hit, boy, you nailed this one. Jacksonville State getting the 15.5 against South Carolina. They hung tough in that one. That's really amazing. I mean, they were FCS, what, like 2 years
ago?
Last year. And now they're going to an SEC opponent and banging and hanging the whole game. And that's Rich Rod, right?
Yep.
Some of these programs, you come up on the FCS side and you're a powerhouse. Those teams, like the best at, like North Dakota State, I don't even know who the top number one is FCS, but like the best FCS team, I'm convinced, Emory, is like a top 50 FBS team.
Easily. We saw this last year with the team that won the national championship last year, South Dakota State, go up to Iowa and lose 7-3 to Iowa, you know? And so South Dakota State is still number one. They can beat anybody, you know, in the country. And you look at the teams that have jumped, that have been the top teams in the FCS that have made the jump to FBS, they've been really good. App State, Marshall, you look at what we're
seeing.
Georgia Southern, Jacksonville State is good. Sam Houston got their first win, although they've been struggling. But for the most part, these teams that were powerhouses in the FCS that have made that jump have been outstanding. UAB had made that jump too. We're seeing
JMU,
South Alabama. Like, it's been insane. But that shows you, and we get this discussion all the time, the top tier FCS teams in a group of five, they're really one and the same. You know, it's just a difference in scholarships, but the competitiveness is right there. So there's more in common with those guys, group of five, top tier FCS, than there is with power five and FCS. But it was great to see Jacksonville State go out there, because Rich Rod brought that up on our call when we did the FIU game, was they have a football tradition. The administration loves football and they want to win. And those things combined makes for what we're seeing out there, what we saw out there against South Carolina.
Yeah, it's awesome. The other one you missed, you liked LSU getting the 3 at Alabama. That was a shootout for a while, and then LSU just kind of ran out of gas.
I don't understand. Every time they have Harold Perkins drop back in coverage and Andrew loses his wings, right? Like, have him rush the passer. Why are you taking your best pass rusher and drop him in a short zone against a mobile quarterback that when you give time back there in the pocket, he's tearing you up deep down the field? It blows my mind. And that game changed when LSU went forward on fourth down. Mason Taylor dropped that one pass, and then they had to, you know, it made it third and long, second long, or whatnot. Then they didn't get that first down. And next thing you know, they lose that possession. And in a game that's going back and forth, because we saw Washington, USC, where everyone maximized their possessions, right? That was going to happen in LSU, Alabama, but they lost that one possession. Alabama went up and scored, and then it was playing catch up, and then Jaden Daniels get hurt, you know, and it was out the window after that.
So I wrote this on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, and again, he's at F-Ball Game Plan. Watching that LSU-Alabama game, that's why every college coach wants a quarterback that can run. I mean, Daniels and Milroe, those guys can scoot. Those guys are athletic. And look, but they can also, by the way, throw, and they throw awesome and all that stuff. But, man, that is really, really tough to defend. And those guys are fun to watch when they get in the open field. All right, let's move on to this week. So, by the way, for the week, Emory was 2-2. He hit on Oklahoma State and Jacksonville State, getting the points, missed on LSU and Texas. Don't miss on Monday night, by the way, if you're up in Western New York. I'll be there for the Broncos and the Bills. I think it's me and Kevin Harlan, Westwood One. Should be awesome. You can get into that game on the Game Time app. They got deals on tickets right up to the start of kickoff or concerts or whatever. Sometimes some of these events, like a concert, even an hour after it starts. What I love is they got this guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. So if you find tickets in the same section in a row for less, Game Time's going to go ahead and credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, so again, create an account and redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Emory, let's start with the big noon kickoff. It is Michigan at Penn State. A lot of talented guys for both teams here. You know, Penn State blew the doors off of Maryland in that game. For some reason, when Penn State plays at Maryland, they just annihilate those guys. I don't know why that is, and I still don't understand. By the way, doing Ohio State Rutgers, Emory, I am really curious after the season to see where Travion Henderson is in your running back rankings. He is super impressive to me. Really, in every way. I guess what makes it even more impressive to me is that Ohio State beat Penn State without Ibuka, without Denzel Burke, without Travion Henderson. I mean, you're talking about like maybe three first-round picks. You're talking about three of their top 10 players, maybe three of their top six players. That's really impressive for Ohio State. Michigan, obviously, J.J. McCarthy's playing really well. Right now, the spread is Michigan laying 3.5. What are you thinking, Emery, in terms of the – let's just talk about the players first. Who are some of the guys you'll be looking at in this game?
Well, you brought up J.J. McCarthy, and I know he's getting a lot of talk about amongst the draft community. He's some people's QB3. I don't see it just yet. I feel like he's playing in an ideal situation to where Michigan is calling a great game because their offensive line allows you to do a lot of different things. And, you know, I still am thinking, yeah, he's athletic. You know, he competes well. He's solid off play action, but I don't see him as a QB3. You know, I still, there's some work there for me to get to that point because there's super talented quarterback class. But I do feel like he is someone that's on that Jake Haener kind of plane, you know, who's with the New Orleans Saints. I feel like he's more of that than someone that can elevate. You know, I feel like Michigan's offensive line, Michigan's run game, and the added at-bats they get from a smothering defense allows him to operate rather well. And I know, and it's not for me, but I know for a lot of people, how he performed against TCU is still looming large in a lot of people's minds. So this is a big game for him and what he can do to kind of flip some opinions. And on the other side, we talk about Fashanu, you know, the offensive tackle for Penn State, and how well can he play again and just continue to elevate his game. But in terms of the point spread, man, like, listen, this is a classic game of what did you learn, Penn State, and what can you apply, right? Because I feel like Penn State's defense and their game plan against Ohio State actually fits this game better. You know, I felt like against Ohio State, they really had to start to air it out. Michigan, they can play that game that they wanted to play against Ohio State because I feel like they can compete there. I actually like Penn State to win this one. I think they'll learn from their mistakes. They won't be as conservative as they were against Ohio State. Their defense is right there with Michigan, in my opinion, in terms of being able to slow down this offense. And I think they have better talent on the perimeter, in my opinion, pound for pound. Now, will they allow Drew Allen to throw the ball more, deeper down the field? We'll see. But I think they'll get the job done here and make things completely chaotic in the Big Ten.
Just for the record, by the way, looking at it now, Penn State's getting 4.5 points. So, Jack, when you grade Emery for this bet, make sure you have him and have them getting 4.5 points. All right, I like it, Emery. I also, by the way, like DoorDash. Just like the clock will stop on this podcast in 10 minutes, whenever the game clock stops, that's time to order in with DoorDash. Pizza cravings hit at halftime? That's ordering time. Dreaming about tacos during a timeout? Boom, they're on your doorstep. Wait, you want burgers, chips, dips, drinks, and wings instead? Even better. Order on DoorDash and get everything you want delivered without missing a minute of the game. All right, Emery, your second game is Utah at Washington. I keep thinking Washington's going to lose one of these games or get tripped up, you know, after that Oregon win, but they go to USC, they just keep scoring. They just keep going. Now they're hosting Utah and they are laying, it says here, 9 points. Let me just confirm that. But anyway, talk about the prospects, Emery, Utah and Washington.
Well, this is really about Michael Penix. I know it's easy, low-hanging fruit to talk about the quarterbacks, but you watch him coming off that game against USC, making some insane throws. Yes, the delivery is a little wonky because it's a left-handed delivery, and it's almost like a quarter sidearm delivery. And it just looks awkward, but it's effective. It's quick. His placement has improved significantly, I think, this year, more so than anything. And we're seeing him add a little bit more touch because I felt like he was a spot thrower at times. And there's still some of that within this game where, you know, he'll just, everything is a fastball. But on that touchdown pass to the tight end, over like everybody in the stadium to reach the tight end, it was a perfect throw. That required a lot of touch, a little bit more arc on the ball. He did that perfectly. He layered that in there. He's starting to see things quicker in terms of, oh, you're blitzing off the edge. You're going to leave this guy wide open. I'm going to get the ball out of my hands quickly. Now, all of that being a backdrop, this is a unique challenge. because Utah's defense, while not, it hasn't been the smothering defense from Utah, it is still a very much capable defense, better than what they faced last weekend against USC. So how he does in back-to-back weeks, because I feel like now the Heisman Trophy is his to lose with some of these teams losing, even though Jaden Daniels probably still going to be there. We're still probably going to see maybe Bo Nix there, and Washington has a chance to win the national championship, so he's definitely going to be there. And this is a game he's going to have to show up and show out against what is perceived to be a great defense, but philosophically, Utah will still play great defense.
Washington right now is laying 8.5.
Oh, wow. So here's the thing. This is a tough one to pick, right? But I will err on the side of Utah. And I feel like Washington's defense, while everyone's talking about USC's defense, Washington's defense has been giving up a lot of points, man. I feel like this one could be a little bit tighter. So I'm going to take Utah in the points here.
Well, yeah, that was an absolute shootout. USC fired their defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, after that game. It was rough. How about a juicy matchup? 3:30 SEC on CBS, Tennessee at Missouri, Emory. Tennessee, it's a tight game. Should be a really good game. Right now, Tennessee is laying 1 point.
Running back Cody Schrader, I think that's his name.
Yeah.
Listen, he was outstanding at Truman State Division II program. Stepped up two levels. Goes to Missouri last year. Plays well. But I tweeted this out, I want to say maybe 3 weeks ago. Ross, when you watch him play, he is arguably the best in pass pro from a recognition standpoint, from a technique standpoint, and from an execution standpoint. He is flawless out there. He is definitely someone you want out there to, when you're throwing the ball, because you could trust him in pass pro. On top of him being a much better runner than he was last year. So I feel like now he's finally acclimated to SEC speed, SEC athleticism, explosiveness. So he's becoming the complete back for Missouri. It's been great to watch him that transition. And so he's someone that I think is going to, you know, garner a lot of interest at these postseason All-Star games, because he's definitely he's a senior, a real senior that's going to be, you know, playing, you know, in the next level next year. And Brady Cook, the quarterback, I'm a big fan of him, man. I was a fan of him last year when they played Arkansas. I thought he played well. He just has to avoid the one bonehead mistake that he tends to make a game. But Brady Cook is a phenomenal player. And Joe Milton, we're back on the Joe Milton bandwagon, right? Here's the thing about Milton. It hasn't been what people have thought it was going to be, but it still is trending in the right direction, right? And I feel like Tennessee's defense will give them a chance in this ball game. This is going to be a fantastic matchup. I'm glad it's on CBS. I'm glad it's that 3:30 game, because this is going to be fun to watch. I am taking Missouri in the points here.
Okay. 1 point for Missouri at home. Might as well just money line them there when it's when it's 1 point. We're going in the fourth quarter of the podcast, Emory. And in football, the fourth quarter is where the magic happens. It's where games are won. It's where champions are made. In business, it's where sales teams become legends. That's why HubSpot built Sales Hub, to give sales reps the deal-making tools they need to win their Q4. Sales Hub's prospecting workspace organizes your schedule, goals, and to-do list in one place to save your team precious fourth quarter time. Smart sequences help sales reps close deals faster than ever. So get ready to dominate Q4 with Sales Hub. Learn more at HubSpot.com/sales. Last but not least, Emory, Ole Miss at Georgia. What a fun game. Really looking forward to this one. I don't even know what time this game is. This a night game or is this a noon game? Oh, no, it's a night game. Love it. Georgia's laying 11 against Ole Miss. What do you got, Emory?
Ole Miss is in the top 10. I still don't view Ole Miss as a top 10 team. You know, just like last week, I didn't view Missouri as a top 12 team. But Missouri went out there and competed against Georgia. They were game. We know Ole Miss will be game. Quinshon Judkins, the running back, is excellent for Ole Miss. I think he's a Sunday player, obviously. Does a great job and could be someone that helps them neutralize this game. This will come down to whether or not Jackson Dart can supersede pressure, make the plays above the X's and O's for Ole Miss. I know Dart started to garner some buzz around the draft Twitter scouting community. This is the type of game. But Georgia has shown offensively that they can move the ball with multiple options. You know, Delp has stepped up big in the absence of Brock Bowers. And the run game is starting to pop a little bit more for Georgia. So for me, this is a lot of points. And Georgia has been getting that, you know, that benefit of the doubt with all these point spreads, but they haven't played that way. But I feel like they can dominate this game. So I'm going to lay these points with Georgia.
Wow. I would go the other way on that one. 11 points. I'd be taking the Rebels to score enough points that they at least are able to keep that one close. Although I think that's probably about what they end up losing Alabama by at the game I did, their only loss so far this year. You know, Emery, I got to tell you, there's certain things when you mention, I didn't even realize that about the running back for Missouri being from D2. You know, I'm calling that Ohio State-Rutgers game. Ohio State's got a ton of prospects. Rutgers has some interesting guys, by the way. Their corners, Longerbeam and Max Melton are really good. They have an offensive tackle who's 6'8", 350, and he doesn't have great feet, but, like, nobody can beat him. He's just too big. But they got a touchdown catch from Jaquay Jackson against Ohio State. This guy was playing in the PSAC a year ago. You know, Division II, California, PA. I love that. I mean, that's the part, you know, I understand the aspects of the portal that people don't like, but I love these guys at lower levels earning their way up to the higher levels.
Right, especially when you think about the high level of play that you get in the PSAC, and he knows that those questions will still be, well, yeah, he's dominated, but that's Division II level. Can he do it against Power 5? Okay, cool. Let me go show you. Let me move up and go dominate and play well at the Power 5 level. So I agree with you. More people need to expand their peer view to really watch D2 ball and understand how good some of these conferences are.
Look, Emory, we're watching Tyson Bagent, and I saw you tweeting last night about Tanner Hudson. You know, the Bengals tight end, a lot of these lower-level guys are balling out. I love it. The keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.